Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Blog Talk Radio studio right here in the heart of Hudson County. Folks, you know it's always in the Union City, Weehawken area. This is Working the Marks, and I am New Jersey's premier journalist, Fernando Uribe, and he is New Jersey's premier wrestling analyst, Patrick Vincent Rivera. What's going on, PVR?
Yo, why are you giving my government out on the fucking show, man? Come on now. You can't be giving away my government name. You know, you got a bad habit of doing that. Come on. I'm all right, man. You know, it's bad enough I have to deal with a little identity theft already. Now they're like, oh, fuck it. We got this guy's name now. We're good. We got his full government. But I'm hanging in there, profe. It's been a rainy couple of days here in the garbage state, huh?
Yes, it has been, folks. And we appreciate you tuning in here from wherever and however you may be doing so. Don't forget to shoot us an email about what you love concerning Working the Marks. Again, workingthemarks@gmail.com. We love to get emails, so do send them once again to the inbox, workingthemarks@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram @working_the_marks. And, of course, also follow us on Twitter @working_marks. You can check out our own great social media as well, folks, obviously on those platforms. And, Pat, again, you know, just want to say right before we start, a shout-out to Tommy Fierro, the organizer for today's 80s WrestleCon in Morristown, New Jersey at the Menin Arena. Really nice building out there in Morris County. Obviously, you know, for everyone that lives out there, anyone who goes to those high schools that can afford hockey teams, it's a pretty nice building. So good stuff meeting 80s superstars today. I got to meet the Reverend, you know, the Doctor of Style, the Reverend Slick. Along with my cousin meeting Demolition, got to meet, completing my Four Horsemen collection, meeting the great J.J. Dillon and Barry Windham, meeting Cowboy Bob Orton. It was quite a day today in Morristown, even on a rainy Saturday. But I want to give a shout-out to Tommy Fierro and the good job he does there with 80s WrestleCon. Pat, let's get to the news here. What's really big right now in the world of wrestling?
Well, unfortunately, we just recently found out about indie superstar and New Japan Pro Wrestling talent Chris Dickinson being accused of domestic abuse by his former partner, indie wrestler Christina Von Erie. Aside from Christina Von Erie, we also did find out that another young lady had come forward that was a former partner of Chris Dickinson. So these matters are being investigated, and I don't know if Chris is going to be working anytime soon. He did put out something on his Instagram. He put out a statement saying that he didn't want to wrestle last weekend in light of the accusations because he felt like it would take away from the show and the card and, you know, his colleagues. So, you know, I can totally understand why he wouldn't want to be on. But, you know, at the end of the day, unfortunately, these things do happen, and hopefully it's resolved. And, you know, now it's just kind of up to the legal process to see where it goes.
It just seems, man, like this is just yet another story of we see it not just in professional wrestling, but we're seeing it all across pop culture, you know, apparently. You know, he said, she said, it seems like this is now getting ugly from a legal perspective, especially in the pro wrestling business. Once you kind of get that scarlet letter on you, you know, you might be looked upon as too toxic and, you know, someone that's not worth signing. So his career prospects might be in jeopardy right now. And again, this is a guy who I know you're more knowledgeable on Chris Dickinson than I am, but it seems like, you know, he checks off a lot of boxes for workers that have been trying to make it in the indies. It's persistent, but something like this could really doom him. That's at least what I'm reading online.
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, Chris is a guy, you know, he cut his teeth in the Northeast here, you know, guy that was in Jersey All Pro for quite some time, wrestled in the New York City scene. You know, I mean, I remember meeting him when he was very young. I do recall taking a trip with him to Shikara, if I recall correctly, because he was Chris from Staten Island at that point. But that was before, you know, he developed his physique, and we went out there with our buddy Chris Callahan, who's also a Jersey All-Pro wrestler back in the day. But Chris was always cool, you know, and he was a guy that, you know, he's had a lot of adversity in his career, whether it be through injuries, you know, and stuff like that. And getting healthy and staying healthy, I really thought this was a big break for him going to Japan, because he was a guy that would perfectly fit in there, you know. But, you know, we're going to have to see how this plays out, honestly. I mean, you know, the court of public opinion obviously is having their say. That's fine. That's going to happen regardless. Now it's a matter of really going through the court of law, and, you know, we'll see how this all ends up playing out.
I'm with you. It could turn into a really, really sad, tragic story for him professionally. But again, let's let the legal process play out. We all know how punitive the court of public opinion can be. We all know, obviously, how much more punitive and harsh the legal system will be. So let's keep an eye on that. Pat, it seems like this week a lot of the AEW fans are getting giddy online. There's been some reporting on different outlets that Forbidden Door coming up in Chicago, the joint AEW New Japan Pro Wrestling show out of the United Center coming up in late June on a Sunday, which is interesting. They usually tend to have some shows on Saturdays, is apparently sold out, but that's not the case. I mean, obviously, we can't trust people like Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez, but it seems like other journalists are reporting that the United Center, even though that, let's be honest, Chicago, the United Center, that whole area is pretty much AEW's Madison Square Garden. That's their holy ground. That's their mecca. You would think that this show with this much potential star power would have been sold out already. I think it's a little bit of an indictment that it's not, despite what some journalists are saying, brother.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Billy Boddy was reporting, and Billy Boddy, for those of you out there who don't know who he is probably the most reliable guy out there. I mean, 99.9% of the stuff this guy says ends up happening. You know, it's very rare that he gets stuff wrong. And he was reporting that they kind of basically made it seem like they sold out just so that fans are, like, more intrigued to buy tickets. I get, you know, and again, it's a promotional tactic. I get it. I get what they're trying to do. But there's stuff like all their ringside seats. You know, they're going to sell that with ticket packages, of course, which is what, you know, WWE does. So, you know, I get what they're doing. I mean, and look, like, yeah, it's great. You know, you're selling out an arena for a show. I mean, they should be. They have the talent to do that. They, you know, and coupled with New Japan, you know, they have the talent to do that there. I mean, they could draw 20,000 plus at the United Center, you know, literally on the strength of CM Punk's name alone. So, yeah, you know, I mean, I get it, but I'm also not surprised. And, you know, as far as Meltzer and Alvarez go, like, you know, you can't really take it too seriously because they're a part of it. You know, they're in on it. Like, they're in that club. You know, you compare Dave Meltzer from 25 years ago to Dave Meltzer now, it's night and day. So, you know, the objectivity was there back then. Now it's just something else, which is really a shame because, you know, say what you will about him now, but the guy was a historian and was definitely an integral part of getting a lot of guys booked in the heyday of wrestling, you know, in the 90s. So, but yeah, not surprised, you know, more fake news from over there.
Yeah, again, I'm not surprised either. And for a show that really needs to be successful, obviously more for New Japan's sake, we know that it's been reported that they're struggling financially. You know, let's see what that card looks like. Obviously, it'll shape up more after Double or Nothing later this month over Memorial Day weekend. Not to get ahead of ourselves, as I'm sure we'll cover Double or Nothing coming up, but it would seem that if you really want to maximize, you know, Forbidden Door in Chicago, it would, for me, if you're asking me to book, I would have Hangman and CM Punk wrestle to a time limit draw in Las Vegas and then have Punk win the title in Chicago. You want that fairy book, you know, fairy tale ending, the fairy tale story for CM Punk to win the title where he came back. I mean, that's me, but again, Tony Khan may not see it that way, but we'll have a lot of time to talk about Forbidden Door in the next few weeks, but this show's got to do well, not just for AEW, but it's got to do well for New Japan, bro, because they, as we've talked about off the air, they need to be profitable. They need to get some income and revenue streams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. They, I mean, look, this is part of the reason why they're doing this deal. Initially, they tried to do it with WWE. They couldn't really come to some type of an agreement. And, you know, Danielson was the big bargaining chip there. You know, because WWE didn't want to do a partnership with New Japan, Danielson basically went where he could wrestle New Japan. So, you know, I'm not saying that Danielson doesn't want to be in AEW, but I don't think AEW is, like, the destination. I think it's just, you know, it's a bridge. It's a tunnel to get to where he wants to get. And where he wants to get to is New Japan, which is really where he belongs. I mean, and I've said it before. I'll say it again. I've been saying it for years. New Japan Pro Wrestling is the best professional wrestling company in the world. You know, WWE, what they do, it's sports entertainment. They're great at what they do. They're great at the personality side of it. But, you know, the pro wrestling is still very good. But New Japan is just, it's something different. It's something different. And it's very special. So, yeah, I mean, that's a given. I'm with you on the CM Punk Hangman booking. I have not been a fan of Punk's run thus far in AEW. The MJF thing is probably the highlight. And even that took that too long to get to. So, I mean, but in terms of, like, utilizing him as a promoter, you got to have him go over in Chicago. You got to have that. Plus, we also don't know how long Punk's going to be wrestling. Maybe this guy might retire in a year from now. This might be his last run. We don't really know what's going on. But if I was a booker, if I was a promoter, and that's you know, he's one of the guys in my company, I mean, I'm going to have him win the title in Chicago. I'm just going to have him do that. So,
I'm with you. And we'll have plenty of time to dissect the card as it's shaping up in the next few weeks. But speaking of cards, obviously, tomorrow night, I'm Peacock with the 57 ads I'm sure that we'll see during the live event because we'll see commercials. Tomorrow is Backlash, you know, or as
WrestleMania Backlash.
WrestleMania Backlash, yes. Kind of not a big card per se. I think that's a good thing. I don't think you want to engage in overkill or overload, but a pretty good card tomorrow. We have Bobby Lashley facing Omos in a rematch from WrestleMania. I don't know. It just seems like, well, you know, you would think Omos might go over this time to kind of square the feud at 1-1, but I don't know. Maybe this will be the opening match. I don't see it lasting very long.
Yeah, I mean, one would assume Omos is going over. I don't know if this feud's going to be over yet. I mean, they kind of need to give Bobby something to do if you want to set him up for, you know, for Lesnar at SummerSlam. So, but you also don't want to kill Omos at all. So, I mean, I expect Omos to go over, them kind of carry this feud out. And with MVP as the heater, you know, you can look at it in a variety of different ways for the rubber match. But, yeah, I expect this to be a pretty short match, too.
Absolutely. Another match, I'll be honest with you, that I'm just tired of. I hope that this feud ends also. We got Happy Corbin facing Madcap Moss. I get it. Madcap checks up a lot of boxes for events. Well, I'm not a hater. It's a feud that, okay, great. It's serving its purpose, but let's not drag this out like AJ and Nakamura a few years back. You know, it was like 7 months of this. Okay, you know, they're both great workers. You can tell that Madcap Moss is really over with the crowd. I don't like the gimmick. It's not for me, but I can see why it resonates with people. He seems to be on a hot streak. Let's hope Madcap Moss goes over, ends this feud already, because Happy Corbin is really uneventful for me.
I expect Madcap to go over on this one, and I expect Corbin to take some time off because I think his wife is pregnant, which is reported not that long ago. So, yeah, I'm expecting Madcap to go over. Honestly, I like the Madcap gimmick, the whole bad joke telling and just, I mean, you know, these are two guys that, yeah, the marks aren't exactly in love with them, but they go out there and they do their job very well. And they knock it out of the park. And Madcap, even with the stupid suspenders, looks more legitimate than like 75% of the guys in AEW.
So, that's fair.
I mean,
no, absolutely.
Say whatever they want, but the guy can go. He can talk. He can work. He gets it, and he knows what to do. So I'm actually excited for this, and I'd like to see Madcap get a push in the future for sure.
Yeah, it seems like, you know. Listen, he won the Honor the Giant Memorial Invitational Battle Royal at WrestleMania. It seems like a lot of those guys that win those battles tend to get a push for a little bit, then it kind of fizzles out for different reasons. Again, I don't want to sort of get into that, but let's hope that Madcap
like you pointed out though with Madcap is that gimmick's getting over.
Like the bad joke thing really works. Like the crowd reacts to it. Like, so, I mean, I was there to, you know, not that long ago when they came to Brooklyn and he got a positive reaction and I was actually surprised.
Yeah.
I was really genuinely surprised. So, you know, like I said, I could see this guy getting a push pretty soon.
No, absolutely. I think you're right on the money with that one. We got Edge versus AJ Styles, a rematch once again from WrestleMania. Damian Priest will be banned from ringside due to AJ winning this past Monday on Raw. Again, they had a classic. It was the longest match of the weekend during WrestleMania. I expect another great, great storytelling. I expect another sort of psychological thriller, as they say, with Edge and AJ Styles. You know, I hope AJ goes over to kind of even that feud at 1-1, but who knows? You know, Edge has been doing – I would argue this Edge heel run is probably his best heel work ever. And he's had some great runs as a heel throughout his career in WWE. But I'll tell you, this is this dark Edge. I mean, it's even darker than his original days with the Brood. It's that good right now with Edge. But I think AJ, I hope AJ goes over. How do you see this one?
I mean, one would assume AJ evens it up, but we don't know. Maybe they debut another member of the stable. To cost AJ, you know, the match. But I'd like to see AJ get the win here just so that they can keep this feud going because if you like wrestling, you're not going to, like, want to see these guys work. Like, come on. You know what I mean? Let's get real here. They're both fantastic workers. And, yeah, Edge is – see, like, okay, so let's compare Edge in his situation to Christian in his situation. Who's doing more to enhance the talent? Who's doing something better? Because they're both at the tail end of their careers, right? Fair enough. You know, but Christian, they put with Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, and it's not doing anything to those guys. Like, it's not helping them at all. Like, they suddenly don't have more charisma. They're not better talkers. And Edge with Damian Priest in what, like a couple of weeks? He's already doing more to help this guy and to help elevate this guy than, you know, anything that Christian's been able to do. And not only that, but
yeah.
You know, you're putting Edge in a position where he doesn't have to kill himself, he doesn't have to wrestle, and when he does wrestle, it means a lot more. So I mean,
a lot of that has to do with. Mm-hmm. But Pat, though, I hate to cut you off, but the thing about Damian Priest, and it's weird because last year, he went to a lot of momentum in Tampa and WrestleMania. He was teaming with Bad Bunny against John Morrison in the news. Now, I don't recall exactly what happened after that, but, like, he kind of was off TV for a little bit. I'm not sure if it was injury-related or maybe there was nothing to do with him creatively. But, like, I really thought that last year, after teaming with Bad Bunny, I said, okay, this is a guy that Vince is going to obviously trust him. He seems like a guy that they're going to push. They put the U.S. belt on him. I'm going to be honest with you, man. Again, I don't want to say that it's maybe the victim of circumstance, but it's one of those things where you put a title on a guy, a mid-card title, and yeah, he's still over, but I don't know. It seems like he fizzled out a little bit. I think this is definitely a boost in the arm, as they say.
I disagree.
It's rejuvenating.
I disagree completely.
Why?
I do. I'm sorry. I disagree completely because the fans were into him. Yeah, he took on Finn, and Finn came back, and that was a big win because of Finn coming back. But he was still hot. Fans were into his matches. He was getting plenty of responses. I mean, he is a trusted guy, that's for sure. And the fact that they put him in Edge's group proves that he's a trusted guy. I think the people that are going to be in Edge's group are people that they can depend on that just need a little more rounding out. And I think that's where Edge is going to come in. Because, you know, and look, this isn't like, you know, Jake Roberts in AEW where he's just getting paid just to walk out there and go outside, but he's not really saying much. These young guys are doing anything. Like, Edge is legitimately invested in this. And Edge wants to help these guys, you know, reach their potential. I mean, obviously there's rumors of Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley would be a fantastic addition. Rhea is a main event talent, but she just needs some rounding out. There's just a few little things that she's missing. And once she gets, like, those little things, she's going to be, like, on that Sasha level, on that Becky level, mm-hmm. on that Charlotte level, on that Bayley level. You know, Bianca's at that level, you know, and even Bianca's still kind of learning on the job,
but you know, Rhea, I really think that her being in that group with Edge would be super beneficial. So yeah, I mean, Damian Priest is doing fine. I mean, he was good. He's one of the longest reigning U.S. champs, like, in recent memory. You know, there wasn't anybody that really held the title that long. And, you know, all his matches were exciting. There were good TV matches that he would have. He would have solid pay-per-view matches with a variety of different guys. And, you know, at one point he was one of the strongest booked guys on the roster, I would say. Him and Riddle were probably the two strongest booked guys. So,
that's fair. No, that's totally fair. No, good points. Again, I'm expecting a good match. I like what, you know, putting Damian with Edge, I think it's going to help round them out also along. Again, it'd be great if Rhea Ripley's added. You can see she's getting a little darker, obviously. It seems like she's turned heel or just whatever you want to call it, you know, just tired of her partner. We'll find out what happens in the next few weeks. So that's definitely, I think, a match to watch tomorrow. Another rematch from WrestleMania, Cody Rhodes will take on Seth Rollins. I'll be honest with you, man. Not to say that the sizzle is already off the stake for me with Cody, but listen, good ring work, had a great match with Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, had a good match with Kevin Owens. I know he's done some, you know, dark matches or post-Raw matches with some other stars. You know, Cody's a good worker. You know, he's going to do that. He's going to get that good in-ring work in. Again, another feud that, you know what, hey, whatever. Get this feud over with. Let's move Cody onto something else, either challenging for a title or a new opponent. I like Seth Rollins, you know, as a guy that wears a lot of bombastic suits. I can appreciate the gimmick. I like it. I don't want this feud lasting too much longer, though, Pat. I mean, again, give me some, I don't know. I mean, maybe Rollins needs to win here to even it up at 1-1, but I don't want this feud lasting, like, for the rest of the spring or into the summer. I don't want this dragging out either.
So you don't want good wrestling?
I very much want good wrestling, but it seems like, you know, I'd
like to
see
you're complaining about
Cody.
Good wrestling, or potential good mm-hmm. wrestling.
No,
that's
no,
what you're complaining
listen,
about.
I'm not – well, listen, I it just seems to me that I think Cody – If you're taking your time with Roman Reigns, apparently there's a report that he's still nursing an injury that he suffered at Mania with Brock Lesnar. So obviously, you know, you want to kind of, you know, transition him slowly into more active ring work, right, as he's trying to heal. Okay, but it just seems like if you brought in Cody, you almost kind of want to put him in a title picture soon. You don't want that momentum. Listen, his merch is selling like crazy. It's up there. There's still a sizzle about Cody Rhodes. You know, he came in hot. Put him in the title picture soon. I don't want him kind of like not, you know, treading water. He's not treading water. I just don't want Cody being in this feud too long. If Roman's up and healthy, I kind of like him and Roman going at it soon. At least, you know, at least close to SummerSlam or maybe Money in the Bank. I don't know. I don't want Cody in this feud too long.
I don't know. I just some people are just very hard to please. I don't mind two good workers working with each other. I want to see it go and see how this develops. I'm intrigued with what they're doing with Cody. Cody mm-hmm. is a very interesting character. He's like, I think you'd appreciate it. He's kind of like, you know, a used car salesman, like a full of shit mm-hmm. politician, you know, mm-hmm. like he's got kind of that vibe. And, I don't know. It's weird. Like he's being a super baby face, but he definitely comes off like heelish in a way sometimes. They're going to have great matches. I'm not complaining about any of it. If they wrestle, they wrestle. I mean, I get what you're talking about, throwing them in the title picture. SummerSlam, Money in the Bank, you know, those are two big shows. You could do a lot between now and then. So I'm not too worried about when they get to it. And to your point about Roman, yeah, I initially thought it was kayfabe, but he did get hurt. So did Lesnar, and that's why they ended up doing the six man for WrestleMania Backlash, because Roman's still kind of nursing the injury, and it's an easier way to kind of hide him in the match and still have him on the card. And maybe do something with him and Drew that maybe either leads to Money in the Bank or mm-hmm. possibly SummerSlam. But yeah, I don't know, man. I really want to see Cody go over here. I want to see the strong momentum going with Cody. I don't think it hurts Rollins.
Exactly.
You know, but
exactly.
But it all depends what the plan is here. Because if they're trying to get to Seth, maybe they're trying to do Seth at SummerSlam. Who knows? You know, maybe they're trying to revisit it. Because, look, that Royal Rumble match was a banger, dude. That was a hell of a match.
No, it definitely was. And just for the sake of scheduling purposes, obviously after tomorrow night, the next pay-per-view is Hell in a Cell in Chicago on Sunday, June 5th.
Premium
then
live event.
Well, you know, I mean, I might be out tomorrow. I don't know. I might be out tomorrow watching. I don't know. Like we did for WrestleMania. Who knows?
That makes no sense, though. I thought you were a fiscal conservative. Why? Wouldn't you stay home and save money and watch the premium live event?
Hey, leave that for Monday. That's for Real Talk, folks, at 6 p.m. on YouTube there on Jersey First, by the way. So,
God, now you're plugging it on the show. Jeez.
And then we got Money in the Bank Saturday, July 2nd in Las Vegas. Then we got SummerSlam. You know, again, a couple events, you know, kind of sandwiched in between tomorrow night and SummerSlam. So maybe a lot of these feuds, who knows? Maybe AJ, maybe, you know, Edge and Rollins and Cody. Hey, who knows? Maybe Hell in a Cell is the rubber match, right? And who knows? Maybe not inside Hell in a Cell, but, I mean, not a fan of the pay-per-view in June. I kind of like it later in the year. But, again, that's just me being a mark and nitpicking. But it should be pretty good. Not sure what the main event will be tomorrow, per se, but you would assume it's going to be the Bloodline, Roman Reigns and the Usos against Drew McIntyre and RK-Bro. Again, Roman obviously not going to maybe work too much. I think he might be limited if as he's trying to heal. It seems like maybe Drew McIntyre might be in the title picture soon. They were teasing us with Nakamura a few weeks ago, but that seems to be at least a little quiet right now. We'll find out. I think this will be, listen, it's six very good workers. I kind of expect the Bloodline to keep the momentum and win somehow tomorrow, by hook or crook, as they say.
I'm going to go the opposite, and I'm going to say the faces are going to go over here, because this is a way that you can have Roman lose and it doesn't hurt him, and it kind of legitimizes Drew for being back in the title picture again. So I could see that happening, and I could see them do that. Plus, again, it also depends, too, on how long they want to keep riding the RK-Bro wave, because, you know, obviously the merch is coming in. I don't know if everybody saw the RK-Bro 420 shirt on April 20th, the one-day release. But I'm assuming a lot of those were sold, along with a lot of the RK-Bro merchandise, which, let me tell you something. You know how you know something has arrived in Hudson County? When you see it on Bergen Line, okay?
That's right.
I saw a guy with a backwards hat, and I thought it was a Diamondbacks hat. And as I got closer, I noticed that he was wearing an RK-Bro hat. And I was like, wow. RK-Bro's huge.
I gotta admit, they're very over. I like the shirt. I'm not a big fan of the logo. It kind of gives me flashbacks to the 2001 World Series where Arizona got very lucky against our Yankees.
No.
So, yeah, not a fan of that logo per se with the snake. Yeah, it looks too close to the Diamondbacks logo. But again, it's selling, no question. Obviously, I'm not sure if this will be the main event, but Pat, if there was ever a match that I would say, I hope this feud just ends tomorrow. And I say this because maybe she's doing well merch-wise, but a few friends of mine went last night to Long Island. And again, dude, like, I love Charlotte. I get it. They brought back Ronda. She's a great crossover figure in pop culture, obviously has a following, but dude, this feud does nothing for me. Ronda's promos are still blah. Her in-ring work is still blah. I'm sorry. I get it. You want to get her over Charlotte, you know, but I'm sorry. This is a feud that does nothing for me. And I had some friends last night in Uniondale, and we're like, listen, she got a pop, but it wasn't like, okay, it was nothing to scream about. And that's my thing about Ronda Rousey. I mean, it's not her fault. Maybe it's the way Vince is pushing her. Maybe it's just creatively, I don't know. I'm just so over this already. If she's going to win the title, put it on her. If not, I don't know. Have Charlotte go on against somebody else, man. This feud does nothing for me whatsoever. I hope it ends tomorrow.
I mean, obviously, like, Ronda is a huge, huge star. And somebody that I have a lot of respect for as a judoka, as an MMA fighter, as a pioneer in UFC. You know, she's a badass. She's straight up a badass. And she would probably whoop both our asses at the same time, easily. And the only reason I say probably is maybe she has a sore ankle. I don't know. But, or the sniffles. But you know, I'm glad that she's involved with wrestling. I think that she has a lot of upside. I just don't know if it's catching on like it could right now. But you know, I mean, the promo thing is tough because it's interesting because you think about her UFC run, right? She was able to talk a pretty mean line of shit back then. She had the promo thing kind of down. And I don't know if it's that, you know, that wasn't really the focus. So she was able to do that and kind of not focus so much on the talking, just be more natural because all the focus is on the fighting. As opposed to like wrestling where a lot of the focus is on talking, particularly WWE. But what's Charlotte's last name? What's her last name?
Well, it's, she's the daughter of the immortal
Flair. What's Charlotte's last name?
Yeah,
Flair. That's right. Her last name is Flair. Okay. And her father always wanted to work top stars, whether it was in sports or work with them, whether it was sports, wrestling, pop culture, whatever. It didn't matter. Ric Flair always wanted to work with top stars. And Ric Flair always prided himself in being able to take somebody that wasn't necessarily on his level yet and bring them up to his level. And I think Rick's daughter is trying to do the same thing with Ronda. And I think that they had kind of have an, and look, that match at WrestleMania, it was missing something. It was definitely like missing some heat.
It was better than we thought it would be. It was a lot better than
exactly,
we thought.
Exactly. But I think, you know, because like we had mentioned previously here on Working the Marks with Fernando and Patrick on Blog Talk Radio, that, you know, in order for her to have a good match with Ronda, she has to work a lot of chain wrestling and minimize the spots and kind of like eliminate the botchiness and just make the spots like the important parts of the match, but really work the chain. And that's what she kind of did. She kind of had a pretty grounded match with her. You know, they would do the strikes and stuff like that, the high spots. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like, I feel like I should be more excited for this than I am. And it's just like, it's not there. And I don't know if
exactly.
I necessarily want it to be over.
Exactly.
Cause
you're not excited.
Again,
this again, it's, I don't want to put the blame on Ronda. I won't put the blame on Charlotte per se. I mean, however this is produced and the promotion of it, it's just like, I can't get excited about this feud. I almost like, okay, I want this to end. But again, it's going back to, I think the way that Vince is presenting Ronda, it's not, There's not even sizzle. Never mind the steak. There's rarely any sizzle here, and that's the problem.
I think he's putting her in good spots. I think he's putting her in good spots. The problem is that the promo's not there. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Let's say hypothetically, tomorrow Vince goes, okay, I'm going to bring in Conor McGregor to work with Steen or Rollins or somebody else, right? Or Roman. Conor McGregor is going to come in, and granted, the wrestling ability might not be there. You know, the pro wrestling ability might not be there, but you know damn well that when he grabs that microphone, he's going to talk a line of shit that even if the match itself is the shit, the hype is going to be really, really, really big.
Well, Vince might be terrified.
I just think
Vince might be terrified about whatever comes out of Connor's mouth, to be fair.
Time and place. It would all depend on time and place, you know, but he could do it. And if anybody could do it, it's Vince. And if Connor's going to do it, he's going to want to do it with Vince because he's the biggest. I don't know. I just feel like she's just not really knocking it out of the park with the promos. And she's not like, I feel like the hype is so one-sided, like, because Charlotte's just doing all the hype. Like, she's really adding the personality where Ronda is kind of just like being dragged along almost, it seems. And I don't know. I mean, I hope they prove everybody wrong tomorrow and have the match of the night.
I hope so too. It should be a good card. just like we said about Mania, hey, a lot of fans, a lot of the marks were complaining online, especially social media, oh, this Mania looks really blah on paper. And let's be honest, this is one of the better WrestleManias in recent memory. Not one bad match. It was all excellently produced. I have a feeling, obviously, to no one's surprise, I'm sure tomorrow will be well-produced as well. Pat,
well,
other news here.
I think that, I'm sorry not to cut you off there, but I think that because WrestleMania was good, WrestleMania Backlash is going to be good. It has potential to be really good. So, you know, because of all
Absolutely.
The good work they did at WrestleMania, now WrestleMania Backlash can be.
Yes. And again,
you know
folks,
I mean?
It'll be a start time of 8 p.m. tomorrow on Peacock. For those of us that have to endure the 57 commercials tomorrow during the pay-per-view.
Stop being cheap, bro. Upgrade your subscription. You're a cheapskate. You spend all this money on all these suits, but you can't spend, like, what, an extra $5 not to have commercials?
I don't feel like complaining about it. I don't feel like giving Vince more of my money, which we'll get to in a moment because it's very central to today's topic, by the way. I don't feel like giving Vince more of my money than I already do, but should be a good card tomorrow, folks. You can check it out on Peacock tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Other news here to round out the news cycle. Something that really bothered me, Patrick, because I've loved this series since its beginning. As a fan, you know, we grew up watching wrestling without knowing a lot of the backstory, a lot of the stuff that goes on behind the curtains. You know, Vice has announced this week that they will not be renewing season. They will not be adding a season 4 of Dark Side of the Ring. I'm heartbroken over this. I've loved every episode, some more than others. It's been well produced. I think the two guys have gotten a lot of good talent to appear with a lot of these sort of like behind the scenes interviews, shoot interviews almost, it seems. I've really enjoyed it because as a guy who grew up watching wrestling and we don't know a lot of the backstory, and I get it that unfortunately by seeing too much, it's emboldened a lot of marks, but I've really enjoyed the storytelling and the way they talked about a lot of historic moments in pro wrestling from the Montreal Screwjob to the sort of the backstage tension between Randy Savage and Elizabeth while during their marriage to Dino Bravo's unfortunate death to the Dynamite Kid's tragic story to Chris Benoit. They've all been great documentaries. I'm really disappointed to see Vice not renew it. I hope it catches on somewhere else.
The possibility, I think, exists for maybe it to be shopped somewhere else. But I don't know, man. I feel like this program got a lot of people a lot of heat. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of people got a lot of heat because of it. Like, Jim Ross doesn't want to be involved. Some of the topics that they covered also kind of, like, emboldened marks to, like, be mad at wrestlers and be mad at Vince and all this other stuff. You know, the whole Ric Flair helicopter member fiasco, you know, just a lot of the stuff that they covered. And Tommy Dreamer, you know, getting suspended, like, you know, it's like a domino effect. Like it almost got to a point where it's like, okay, like this episode's going to reveal this about this person. And then all of wrestling Twitter is just going to go ham on like this one particular person or this one particular thing for like a couple of weeks or, you know, maybe they'll get this guy like canceled for, I mean, to some extent, Ric Flair's been canceled like because of it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't expect to see Rick turn up on WWE programming. I don't expect to see Rick turn up on AEW programming or Impact or anywhere else, really. You know, AAA, they'll do it. That's fine. You know, they got a draw house down there, and I don't think they really give a shit, to be quite honest. But yeah, I mean, it's a program that's gotten a lot of heat in the wrestling business, and I think Vice doesn't want to deal with it. I think these guys maybe might not want to deal with it. They might try and shop it somewhere else. If I had to pick a network or a streaming service that I think would be good for them, I'd probably say HBO Max, something like that, where they could kind of get a little grittier. And that's saying a lot, you know, because that program did get pretty gritty. But, you know, for people like us, you know, who grew up, you know, remembering the 80s and 90s, you know, like living through that time, like kind of seeing, you know, wrestling at its height. And then, you know, obviously all the changes that led to now, you know,
when we learned about this stuff, we learned about it through a book, we learned about it through a magazine, or like some legend, you know, would like tell us at like some autograph signing or something like that. And then, you know, a lot of these things will kind of just, you know, develop a life of its own, and then, you know, kind of just grow and become much, much bigger. But, you know, I definitely think that the big reason why it's going to be gone is because of a lot of the heat that it's caused and a lot of the shit that it's stirred. And I think that people not wanting to be involved with it, particularly a guy like JR, who's just like such a historian, you know, that says a lot.
Listen, I'm with you, and I understand that for people in the business that have longevity, they don't like a lot of the dark things coming out. There are certain wrestlers that don't like the perception of the way the industry is portrayed, and for fans that enjoy the nostalgia and enjoy knowing the back stories of a lot of issues and sort of historic feuds or characters, that's great. It's very illuminating and informative. But for people who hate pro wrestling, unfortunately, this only emboldens them more to hate it even further by saying, oh, you see, look how toxic this is. And we saw that, right? We saw that, for example, with the Plane Ride from Hell episode, where, again, it was revealed about, you know, a flight attendant having an issue with Ric Flair. And, you know, again, WWE chose to cut ties with Ric Flair. They almost basically not eliminated him completely or erased him, because obviously he's still mentioned on TV. He's still mentioned in the Evil series that streams on Peacock. And I'm sure next week, folks, next Saturday at the American Dream Mall, he'll be there with Bill Goldberg and other, you know, sports legends. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a line around the door in East Rutherford tomorrow next Saturday for Ric Flair. So whether it was that documentary or others, I get it. It gives people ammunition to hate pro wrestling because of the toxicity that some would say has engulfed the business for some time. So I think you're right. I think something like HBO Max or Netflix might pick it up. I don't know. But it remains to be seen. But obviously, Vice will no longer carry that series, and I think that's disappointing for a lot of fans. Pat, let's move on to this day in wrestling history, May the 7th. It's my birthday month for a lot of – also for people who are a Taurus. It's a great month for us, you know, us principled, noble members of the Zodiac universe. What's important about May 7th in this day in wrestling history?
Today is the birthday of the late, great Owen Hart. Owen Hart, you know, for people who watched wrestling in the 90s, and particularly for guys who, you know, aspired to be wrestlers in the 90s and, you know, into the early 2000s, Owen Hart was a really, really, really inspirational guy. In my opinion, he's the best Hart brother in terms of overall talent. Just everything that he could do, he could talk, he could work, he could sell, he could work any style, he could work anybody, he could make it interesting. I mean, you could plug him into any type of role on the card. He's going to make it work. He's going to get it over. He was just immensely talented. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, he passed way before he should have, but he's a guy that will live forever. And, you know, some of my favorite Owen memories are, you know, just like his matches with Shawn. You know, his match with Shawn leading up to WrestleMania 12, his feud with his brother Brett, the amazing match at WrestleMania 10, you know, his King of the Ring run. And then even the stuff that he did in the 90s, you know, his tag team work with Jeff Jarrett, with Deborah. I mean, like, that they were great. I mean, they were as good a tag team as you were going to get back then. And just, you know, just really just the character work, man. I mean, that like, he was just so hilarious. The way he got the most out of that whole Nugget thing, you know, his gear, everything that he did. You know, he's certainly a guy that really had a big influence on the business and a lot of the talent. And he's someone that's sorely missed by all wrestling fans. I had the privilege to see him. And we all hold a special place in our heart for Owen Hart. So what are some of your favorite Owen Hart memories, Fernando?
I just got to say, to be honest with you, man, you know, we had not seen anything like a sibling rivalry in wrestling in quite some time. And to, you know, look at what happened at Survivor Series 1993 in Boston at the old Boston Garden. Thank God that dump got torn down. Side note, folks. Just to see the Hart brothers, you know, face Shawn Michaels and the Knights. And you started seeing the seed being planted about Brett and Owen in that feud, and I think it was beautifully done. You know, again, just remembering seeing Owen kind of grow before our eyes as a worker and as a performer, because let's be honest, that heel run for him, those interviews leading up to WrestleMania in 94, you know, WrestleMania 10, like those interviews leading up to his eventual clash with Bret were, I think, amazing. You really saw a lot of talent come out there in those interviews with Owen. And again, he was like that, you know, it served its purpose. He accomplished what he wanted. He, you know, the jealous little brother, you know, jealous of the success of the older brother, like the way they sort of portrayed the feud, right? That was the whole premise of it. And I thought
he
it was
sold
brilliant
that
work
program
by
for me, man. He yeah, sold that for me, honestly. He really, yep. really did.
He really, really did. And I think, you know, again, having a chance to see him, you know, at some shows later, he was a great worker. Obviously, some fans are not happy with AEW participating with Dr. Martha Hart and the Owen Hart Foundation and the Owen Hart Cup tournament, which begins this Wednesday, coincidentally, on Dynamite. The women's and men's first-round matches begin this week coming up. Hey, whatever that cup is going to mean, the significance of it, hey, you know what? If it helps to keep Owen's memory alive, that's great. We all know it cannot happen in WWE due to Dr. Hart's ongoing, you know, disdain for Vince McMahon. Let's be honest. It's not like Martha is wrong and, her, you know, she's going to forever believe that what Vince did was wrong. And, again, that's a very subjective conversation. But, hey, if this helps keep Owen's memory alive, I'm all for it. It's unfortunate this didn't happen with Vince McMahon, the WWE, but I'd like to see where this tournament goes coming up.
Just a sidebar on that one. So one of the big reasons why Bret's not involved has nothing to do with Vince offering him all the money. Like that's something else. The big reason Bret's not involved is because Martha's involved. And he and Martha do not get along. It's my understanding that when Owen passed, Martha said some disparaging things about Stu and Helen. And when Bret kind of tried to, you know, kind of bury the hatchet, so to speak, you know, things got a little bit more complicated. And, you know, Bret's always been a big believer of, you know, Owen being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, you know, even though the tragedy of the accident happened. And look, I can't imagine what, you know, Martha and her kids went through. But, you know, I definitely do agree with Bret. Like, you know, Owen does belong in the Hall of Fame, not just, you know, for Owen, but for his fans, because Owen Hart was really, really loved. I mean, really, really loved. And regardless of whether it's an AEW or not, it's nice that, you know, they're putting Owen's name back out there, and it's nice that a whole new generation of young wrestling fans get introduced to Owen Hart. Which they can go watch on Peacock and give Vince McMahon more money.
But
that's my understanding, that there's really bad blood there between Bret and Martha, and that's why they're kind of not working together, and Bret's not in AEW.
Yeah, I mean, and just for clarification purposes, maybe you can help clear this up for me. I think it was reported that Bret signed a merchandising deal with WWE and Vince McMahon. I don't think it prohibits him from appearing in other promotions per se, but that's what I read. Pat, I don't know if you read the same thing, but it's not stopping Bret from showing up, I think, next month at an indie show to be in the corner of FTR. I don't think it stops him from making independent appearances. Now, whether or not that means he'll be in AEW and show up in the corner of FTR, which I would love, because, you know, let's be honest, anyone who's a Bret Hart mark like myself would love to see him with FTR. But I don't foresee that happening for the reasons you just alluded to concerning the Owen Hart Foundation and Martha Hart.
Yeah, absolutely. So from what I know about, like, Bret's deal, it's a Legends deal, which, you know, basically comes, he makes a couple of appearances when needed. But, yeah, it's mainly the merchandising thing. He could still take his indie bookings. He could still do his autograph sessions and all that stuff. He could do those big gimmick events and all that stuff. I think they might be taking some of his pro wrestling tee stuff off. I don't know when it goes into effect exactly, but I think he's going to milk that, and they're eventually going to end up closing that shop, because obviously he's going to be selling the stuff. And I got to say, lately, especially with the Scott Hall stuff that they put out recently,
WWE's merchandise is really stepping it up. Like, they're starting to make a lot cooler stuff. Like, and I can only imagine, like, that they're going to start making a lot cooler Brett stuff. Not only that, mm-hmm. I could see them bringing back that Brett t-shirt, the pink and white one, you know, from back in the day, or the black and pink one where it was just Brett's face and it said Brett the Hitman Hart, you know, like the Razor Ramon, mm-hmm. Lindsay Machismo shirt with the big face on it, that 90s one. I could totally see them bringing that back because that retro style's in. So,
Oh, yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Possibilities are endless for sure, but, yeah, he can't appear on AEW, and that's why they're doing the FTR thing, and he's going to do it on the indies. So, you know, that'll be cool for the fans that like that. And, yeah, man, that's basically the situation with that. But, yeah, rest in peace, Owen Hart. We miss you.
Yeah. Oh, we miss you, Owen, definitely. A fellow Taurus. And, again, some people would say the better of the Hart brothers, but I would disagree. But I know maybe we'll cover that in a future show. But, Pat, you know, you brought up a point here just a couple seconds ago, which leads us to our big topic this week about giving more money to Vince McMahon. And it seems like, you know, fans get really upset for some time, especially when we see the headlines about releases and, quote, budget cuts. And this really, really upsets fans. And obviously we saw the latest round of budget cuts, right, according to John Laurinaitis, the executive vice president, I think, of talent relations or whatever his title is this week. We saw some NXT releases, Dexter Lumis, Harland, the former bodyguard for Joe Gacy, Malcolm Bivens, who apparently had said he was not going to resign, so it was easy to release him, Dakota Kai. You know, over the news cycle, we see that, hey, you know, well, it's because of budget cuts. John Laurinaitis puts out a press release that this is the reason for it. And, you know, it's interesting, though, Pat, because I think a lot of fans personalize this or get very emotional because, you know, while they hear the word budget cuts, they'll also read Forbes magazine and see that Vince McMahon profited, brought in revenues of over $1 billion in 2021. It's still not, obviously, 2022 is still early. We don't know what this financial quarter will give us, but for someone, you know, who's a shareholder like myself, I hate hearing that because I'm like, wait a minute, the stock is dropping. It's like up and down and there's budget cuts, but then they're bringing in $1 billion in revenue. And I think a lot of fans get very emotional about this and say, well, this is unfair to these workers. What are they doing when he's bringing in regular profits? I think fans need to sort of differentiate two things here. Again, I am a history professor, folks, so I don't want to sound sanctimonious here and sound like I'm teaching economics 101. But it would seem I think fans have to kind of take the emotion out of it and look at it objectively, where the spreadsheet on Nick Khan's desk, on his desktop computer, on one side of the aisle is probably a roster budget of what it is for talent. And then you have another spreadsheet probably on the other computer screen on his desktop that is probably about production costs. And what Vince McMahon spends yearly in talent and what he spends to transport those enormous sets, to transport staff to set up these stages for production, to put these people up in, you know, because these are corporate employees. These are not independent contractors like the talent folks. So I just want to make sure people are clear about that. When you're transporting tons of staff when it comes to production, you're paying for their room. You're paying for their airfare. These are corporate employees. These are probably employees that have a 401k within WWE that probably have some other, you know, corporate benefits that these workers do not. So we don't know what Vince McMahon is spending every year, but when you're transporting all the rings, these stages across the country, across the world, halfway to Saudi Arabia, maybe into Latin America, into Europe now that COVID seems to be over and travel seems to be more abundant. I get why fans get emotional about releases and budget cuts because Vince is making so much money. But maybe, again, we're not privy to that information. And to people that look at these workers like, oh, why is Vince cutting these people when he's making record money? You know, again, you know, not to sort of politicize this, but it seems like wrestling fans are on the side of workers and making sure that people don't get shafted for guys that don't have union benefits, that don't have medical care, that maybe don't have a 401k because they're not corporate employees. I think that's why wrestling fans get so emotional when they see these releases shortly after WrestleMania, brother.
Well, maybe they should go do something about it, you know? Maybe they should go sell some lemonade.
You know, maybe they should go get together and, you know, write a letter to somebody or something. I don't know. I mean, this is a pretty tired subject, and it's been going on for years. Obviously, Twitter doesn't help. I really laugh when people kind of, like, complain, like, oh, I can't believe Vince released these guys and, you know, all this other stuff. It's like, he's a billionaire. It's his business, okay? If you know, if the Cowboys released a player that wasn't really doing anything or was just there, I don't think you'd really cry too much about it. You'd be like, oh, well, this is more money to do something else. And it's kind of the same thing with this. I mean, the WWE, I think, put out a press release recently. Nick Khan had said that they want to start doing more stadium shows. How are you going to pay for all of that production cost? How are you going to pay for all of that, for all of the staff? Because now you're doing a bigger venue. The staff, it's going to be a lot more. You're going to have to pay for that somehow, right? I mean, they maximized, I think, everything they could with Dexter Lumis and with that character. He did a great job. You know, he had some pretty memorable stuff with Indy Hartwell. You know, Malcolm Bivens is his name?
Yes.
Okay, Malcolm Bivens. I thought he did a good job. I mean, the guy said he wasn't going to re-sign anyway. So, hey, you know, it is what it is. Dakota Kai, they maximized as much as they could out of Dakota Kai. But she's a lady that's going to have options. I mean, she could go to AEW. She can help their floundering women's division. She could go and do a lot of different things. You know, she also has that indie street cred. You know, she could go make money doing autograph signings. Whatever she wants to do, she could go do it now. A lot of the people that got released, I mean, like, who that got released really outside of, like, Matt Cardona would you say has been doing good or has been doing interesting things or has been, you know, getting himself out there more, making more? I mean, Matt Cardona's pretty much worked everywhere since he's gotten released.
Yes.
And he's got a really cool shtick going now. He's got an interesting gimmick. You know, he's doing GCW. He's doing the hardcore thing, so he's playing to that. He's doing Impact. He's making figures. He's the NWA champion. You know, he's the only one, I think, that has really done some great stuff since he's left. Everybody else is either buried somewhere in the mid-card or I don't even know if you could say there is a mid-card in AEW. But, you know, like, you know, it's like all these other guys are buried somewhere else, like, in the sand, not really doing anything, not literally being buried, right, Marks? So don't shit your pants out there. But, like, they're not being prominently featured. You know, they're not really doing anything. And, you know, a lot of these guys, they kind of had their moment in the sun with Vince, and your time's up. It is what it is. I don't remember anybody crying about Doink getting released or something back in the day. I don't remember anybody crying about any of that shit. Because nobody cared. Because it was just like, oh, well, it didn't work out for this guy. And then guess what happened? Yeah, they're popped up in ECW or WCW or somewhere else or Smoky Mountain. You know, I mean, that's just the nature of the business. And I don't understand why people personalize it. I really don't. I think it's, you know, obviously you have the marks that are in media and, you know, the journalists, the quote-unquote journalists.
Yeah.
You know about that. You know, like, those guys, like, they're the ones who kind of fan the flames at all. Oh, well, let's shit on Vince. Let's hate Vince more. Vince is doing what Vince does. Even if these people weren't being used, people are still going to complain that they're being buried. So, you know,
Pat, you're right about that. But let me just hypothesize on this because I would argue that – I'm not trying to think for every wrestling fan, but I would argue that maybe the reason some people personalize it is they look at these men and women – again, they're independent contractors – and when someone turns around and says, well, Fernando, you can't feel bad for so-and-so, let's say, if they're making $450,000 a year under Vince and if they get cut, oh, well. Again, I don't want to make this overly political because I'm the fiscal conservative people that watch my political shows. But, you know, there's a big difference for people. Again, I'm just sort of going with not devil's advocate argument, but another perspective here. But, you know, when you're making $450,000 as an independent contractor, where you're paying for your own flights, where you are paying for your own health care, when you're paying for your own room and lodging and food on the road, and you're gone, let's say, I don't know, 200 days a year. I'm being conservative with that number. You know, making $450,000 doesn't seem as lucrative as someone working in another industry that's making that money where you're not traveling as much. So I think that's what may, again, if I had to hypothesize, I would argue that's probably where fans look at this and say, well, what have we learned about wrestlers back in the day? You know, case in point today, I went to 80s WrestleCon in Morristown. Once again, Tommy Fiero, shout out to you. Great show. You know, you look at some of these wrestlers who, again, maybe didn't save their money correctly. Maybe they didn't budget correctly. You know, now they're struggling. Who knows? The bottom line is I think wrestling fans have been empowered now to think that, well, you know, the reason that that salary doesn't go as far as it used to or it can is because these are not corporate employees under WWE. Again, so if you're spending on airfare and you're spending on hotel lodging and food and travel and everything else, that $450,000 is not going to go as far as, again, as someone else working in business or marketing. I get it. Maybe it's apples and oranges that you're going to tell me right now. But I think for a lot of fans, that's what they rationalize it at. It's like, well, Vince, you're making X amount of money with revenue. Pay your workers a little bit more. Again, I think that's where the argument comes from a lot of fans that personalize it, like you just said perfectly.
He pays them enough. These people are millionaires. Are these people really crying about millionaires? Like, really? Is that what it is? Because, and again, at the end of the day, it's all just to hate Vince. It's all just to talk shit on WWE. But, hey, man, it is what it is. This is his business. This is what he's been doing. You know what I mean? Like, he pays these guys enough. They're all making six figures. They're all making a ton of money. More importantly, they're known even more after they leave. Dakota Kai, before she came into WWE, and now after leaving developmental, forget about it. This chick's gonna, her rate's gone up. You know what I mean? She's gonna make money. These people aren't gonna be like starving. They're gonna be fine. And I just don't understand like what the big hang up is. It's business. It is what it is. It is what it is. They pay them enough. Like what do people want them to do? Like, come on.
Well, Pat, remember, really? Too. Well, Pat, but Pat, you just brought up a good point about Cardona. Cardona's been that anomaly that has been able to, again, still be kind of relevant after being released. Not everyone has that good fortune. Now, again, that's partly due to Matt Cardona reinventing himself, maybe changing his character, maybe changing his look, whatever. Matt Cardona's a bit of an anomaly because he still is remaining relevant. Will Vince ever look at him again? I don't know. He's in his late 30s. I think it's been clear that Nick Khan and Vince are looking to bring in very young kids from now on, either collegiate athletes, any sort of athlete, any sort of sporting activity. I think that's what Vince is looking at. Is it to say that Vince and Nick Khan are not going to look at independent workers anymore? Who knows? But it seems like Matt Cardona is probably at that age. He's maybe nearing, not that 40 is old in life years, but in wrestling years, it might be. So maybe Matt Cardona might not see WWE again. But for other people being released, again, this is, you know, who knows what's going to happen to them. Again, I'm not here to talk about people's budgeting, people's fiscal responsibility. I'm not here to talk about that. That's a show on Monday nights, folks. I don't want to get too political here. But I think this is where, you know, Matt Cardona's an anomaly. Not a lot of people really, really work out after they get released. And I think, again, this is where marks tend to get emotional. They tend to personalize, like, well, these are people trying to make a living. They can't do it anymore. And, again, it's sort of like, well, it's easy to vilify corporations because, again, there are some people that make it a political thing. It's easy to vilify corporations when they're bringing in profits and they're not paying workers accordingly. Again, I don't want to get all the way political here, folks, but that, I think, kind of stems in the back of the minds of a lot of fans, Patrick.
I think it's just silly. I really, really do. I'm sorry. I think it's silly. These guys are making great money. They're making way more than they did on the indies. And Cardona, I think the reason why he made it work was he went to AEW. It was kind of a tryout type thing. I don't think it worked out for him because I don't think he liked what the setup was there. Some people have said that there's really no structure there. Some people have said that it's a little too laid back. You know, I don't know. I don't know what it was, but the thing with Cardona is, like, he never really hitched himself too much to a wagon. Like, I don't know what his deal with Impact is.
But I don't think it's anything that's like terribly suffocating for him. I think Impact is the nationally syndicated show that he uses to get himself over more for his indie dates. But I just think that he was a lot more strategic about what he's done. And I think that, you know, him being able to work Impact, you know, he had his AEW moment. He did that. Being the NWA champion, which there's people that tune in and watch NWA consistently. They draw good numbers for their shows. You know, and then him getting involved with making figures, and now that's starting to take off, like, you know, pretty good. I mean, he set himself up to make money and to keep himself relevant, to keep himself interesting. And more importantly, he keeps people wanting more. And you know, that's the thing with Cardona. I think he's managed himself post-WWE in a way that has been really, really smart and has really helped him to evolve as a performer and to still stay relevant, you know, after his WWE run. But, I mean, you know, you look at some of these other people and they haven't really done that. They haven't really done that. You know, they've gone to AEW and they're riding the bench. They're just chilling. They're doing nothing. Or they work a couple of indies and then blah. You know, or they're, you know, starting up their own company. And, you know, that's going there and that's whatever. But, you know, Cardona, to me, he's just been very, very smart with his decisions. And, you know, I think we can't blame Vince for what happens to talent after he releases them. He pays them enough. He gives them a shot in the arm to let people know who they are. And then, you know, he puts you out there. You know, he maximizes your visibility. He maximizes your potential. He helps you realize it. And then when he's done with you, you know, you're back out on the indies. But at least you have that status. At least you have that name. Cardona, I don't think will ever go back. I mean, I don't even think it's so much about the age thing. I just think that with him, if he goes back there, how are you not going to call him Zack Ryder? How are you not going to call him Zack Ryder? You know, you have to.
No,
like,
well,
you know,
no, I agree.
Otherwise, you're undermining all that work,
no,
you know what I mean? But then again, I don't think he would want to compromise that. And I just think, more importantly, that, like, they squeezed every last drop out of the Zack Ryder orange that they could. And it's done now. Mm-hmm. And now he's doing his own thing. And, you know, I give him a lot of credit, man. I really give Cardona a lot of credit. Mm-hmm. He's done fantastic since the release.
No, I agree with you. And, again, Cardona's that anomaly because not a lot of wrestlers – after being released, have caught on somewhere and have been able to, again, remain relevant, work across different promotions, kind of reinvent themselves a little bit. I mean, I'm a big Impact fan, so I watch Impact, again, as they celebrate 20 years this year on the air. You know, Matt Cardona's done a little bit different than his Zack Ryder gimmick. He's also done that across different promotions, GCW, NWA. It just seems, though, and again, he's an anomaly. Not a lot of wrestlers have been able to sort of get that boost after being released and reinventing themselves or reassessing what they do in the business. And I just think because he's, you know, on the later side of his 30s, I don't know if Vince would even want to bring someone like that back. I think Vince is really, really – I think you've seen what the business model is for Vince with NXT, especially also when Nick Khan. They're bringing in a lot of talented kids from college – maybe some younger indie people, but I think Vince is done with bringing in like late 30s, early 40s people into NXT, into WWE again. I don't see that happening, which is why, again, Cardona's still over on the indie scene and some of these other promotions. I don't see that happening with him. Who knows? For all I know, maybe Vince will want to give him a shot again. Maybe he'll be, you know, same with him and his wife, Chelsea Green. But again, in terms of the, you know, wrestlers being released, and I think fans get very emotional. Because whether it's the desire to vilify Vince, which is easy, marks love doing that, or B, they're taking a humanistic perspective to this, Patrick. Like, at the end of the day, you know, again, I'm the last one to ever, you know, ever stand up, you know, for corporations or whatever, because I'm someone that, you know, is very much, you know, kind of a fiscal conservative. But I think this is an area where fans get very fickle about, well, hey, because we see it not just in every day, right? We see it with Walmart, with Amazon, with Target, with Sam's Club, like these big corporations that people are like, well, they're bringing in record profits. Pay your workers a little bit better. Why are you marginalizing these people working? And I think that kind of trickles into
that's not the case though with WWE though. That's not the case though. Nobody at Walmart's making six figures. Like, I mean, like they're making six figures, but like job guys are making six figures. You know, these guys are doing okay for themselves. They're doing more than okay for themselves. So like, I just don't get it. Like, you know, Walmart's one thing. WWE is a whole other thing. This is the entertainment business. The entertainment business. Mm-hmm. It's literally like mm-hmm. you could equate it almost to killing a character off on a TV show. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, oh, yeah. They killed off this character. You know, oh, they killed off Bobby Bacala. You know what I mean? Fucking Dexter Lumis is Bobby Bacala, okay? They liked him. It was cool, but he had to die. His time was up, even though Bobby died at the end of the show, you know, more or less. Mm-hmm. But, like, you get what I'm saying? Like, you know, it happens. Like, these guys get signed on. They're there. You can't compare the jobs. You just can't do it. Like, look, Walmart makes sense. Amazon makes sense. I'm with you on that. Wrestling is totally different. These guys are starting mm-hmm. out making six figures, and they're living
no,
in Florida.
Pat,
and
no,
for,
Pat,
for a long period
I,
of
no,
time, they can save money, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, Pat, you're right. Again, I'm just arguing the point that I think fans look at what these workers – again, listen, I'd like to make $500,000 to be in catering if I'm not being used per se. But to a lot of fans, they look at that and say, well, yeah, you're making $500,000, but if you're not being used on TV and you have to travel city to city, again, that's a cost that's exerted on you. I'm not an accountant. I don't know for tax purposes what they can do to maximize their dividends or you know, whatever they can do with their tax returns. But the bottom line is a lot of fans look at it as like, hey, yeah, you're making $500,000, but if you're exerting a third of your income into travel and lodging, that's not $500,000 anymore. So I think that's where fans get a little fickle and say, yeah, if you're making $500,000 living in Hoboken, working for a hedge fund, that's great. Your commute's short, you might work a lot of hours, but that $500,000 goes a lot longer in a longer way for you than workers that are traveling 300 days a year. Maybe, I'm sorry, not 300, maybe 200, 250. And a third of your income is predicated on you having to put out your money to travel, to sleep, mm-hmm. to eat. And I think a lot of fans are like, hey, they're still getting paid.
They're still getting mm-hmm. paid. They are literally going to work. They're driving to and from work. They're paying for their lunch. They're staying at a hotel. I mean, like, that's what it is. Plus, a lot of these guys, too, what were they doing the last couple of years? I mean, there was that whole year, the pandemic year, that they were in Florida for that entire year. None of these people were saving money? None of these people were putting money away for anything? I mean, come on.
That's fair.
You know,
it's
a little ridiculous. It's a little ridiculous because they're doing really good. And the way their system is set up is unless you're a star, an established star, you go, you get signed by them, you go to developmental, you work there for a while. So you're living in Florida for maybe about a year, however long, at least until they feel that you're ready to go out on the road and be on the main roster. And here and there, you'll get the shot where you have to go and do this. I mean, but, you know, frequent flyer miles, like all this stuff like comes into play. Like these people, like they know what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like, they're not starving. Like, none of these guys, Dakota Kai is not starving now that she got released. You know? None of these people are. That's not the case. But, I just think that this is associated with the Mark thing, you know, with programs like Dark Side of the Ring that embolden Marks, you know, like all these Mark journalists, quote-unquote journalists. You know, this is the type of shit that, like, emboldens them. This is the type of shit that they go on about. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, well, you know, these poor wrestlers, they're not poor. They're doing good for themselves. It happens. It's business. You get released. Back in the day, it's a different story. You know, back then, it was like, these guys get released. It's tough. You know, now they get released. There's a million companies they could go work for. Dakota Kai could go work in Japan tomorrow. You should go work at AEW. You should go work anywhere. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I mean, this is something where the fans kind of lose me. Because I think because, like, I'm looking at it more from the business side of it. And I'm just like, well, hey, what are they going to do? They're going to keep him? I mean, like, look at Tony Khan. Look at what he did. Stu Grayson. Joey Janela, right? What's his name? Fucking Frankie Avalon. What's his name? The custodian, whatever the gimmick was.
Yeah, that's right. The
wise janitor, whatever the fucking gimmick was. That guy. Okay?
I gotta think about it.
The librarian. There you go. So they had these guys all on the roster. Convity used them for years. Joey Janela came out recently and did an interview where he said that he basically got ghosted by them. So they basically ceased all communications with him until his contract expired. And then he was like, nah, I'm leaving. I'm gone. I'm doing my thing. And I think they might have offered him an opportunity to resign. I'm not sure, but it was bad business practice, I guess he felt. You know, and I could see that. I could understand that. You're working for a company. They don't even send you a message. They don't check up on you. And then you reach out to them and they don't respond. You know, I mean, come on. So what did they do? They kept him there. And yeah, he could work his indie dates and he was still making money off his contract, but like they're not doing anything with him and he got released. That's okay though. Is that okay for Marks? But Vince releasing Dakota Kai and Dexter Lumis, is it? I don't understand. How does that work? Can you explain that to me? You're the professor.
Well, you know, I don't teach economics, but yeah. No, I feel you, Pat. Listen, you're making a great point. Again, I think it's also the fact that a lot of wrestling fans are losing objectivity because the example you just brought up about Joey Janela is a very valid one, where if Vince did that to somebody, you know, again, the optic by some fans, he'd get crucified for it. And he continues to get crucified, again, because WWE continues to be very profitable. I wish that was reflective in the stock because the stock, you know, doesn't really even break $70 a share, for God's sake, so I'm kind of annoyed. But that's a different argument for me because that's my mental investment is different in this argument. But you're absolutely right. Like, why – if Vince did what Tony Khan did to Joey Janela, again, we don't know. Maybe he's been doing it to other people because there are some contracts he's not renewing. And we'll find out in the next year or two about Tony Khan when some guy's deals are up, what he's doing with business practices. I think that, listen, Khan is getting the benefit of the doubt from a lot of the wrestling journalists that hate Vince, that are so quick to prop up Tony Khan on this pedestal of moral righteousness and good business practices. I think we're going to find out in the near future what's going to happen. Listen, Cody right now, again, he was just on the Broken Skull Sessions. I haven't seen it yet. And Cody is too classy to air out dirty laundry on a show like that with Steve Austin. But rest assured, if a lot of these people aren't getting their contracts renewed by Tony Khan, someone's going to spill the beans at some point soon and throw Tony Khan, under the bus for what are business practices that they killed Vince for. Well, they should kill Tony Khan for him too.
Absolutely. I think it's incredibly hypocritical. And a lot of these journalists, these quote-unquote journalists, you know, they all want to be in the cool kids club. And the cool kids club now is AEW. So, you know, they want to be in. A lot of them don't like them. And look, in a way, it's good that they do that because that keeps the business alive. Like them talking about the competition, because Vince doesn't need anybody to prop him up. Vince could literally create a fucking award tomorrow to make himself like the greatest human being in the world. You know, I mean, he could and he would, you know what I mean? But he doesn't need these magazines. He doesn't need these journalists. He doesn't need any of them. You know, what he needs, you know, he can do himself, you know? AEW need the journalists. AEW need these people. So obviously, you know, because they're all kind of working together and it helps the business and it helps, you know, PWI, it helps keep them alive. They're obviously going to run with it, you know? But I mean, it's just that there's a lot of hokey practices there, man. I mean, like even Kenny Omega, like the Kenny Omega Disco Inferno thing, you know, Disco, you know, playing a clip of something, a spot in Stardom, you know, a tongue in cheek kind of comment, ended up getting him a lot of heat. Kenny rips him to shreds, talks all this stuff about him, about how he's enhancement talent of yesteryear and stuff like that. Meanwhile,
hate to break the news to you folks, but more people have seen Disco Inferno on TV than has seen Kenny Omega. And, you know, I mean, Disco's a pundit. You know, he's doing the same shit we're doing. You know, for Kenny Omega to go after him for reviewing his show, it's just, it's a little lowbrow. Like, Vince would never do that. There's no shortage of people that talk shit about Vince. But an EVP from WWE is not going to respond to any of that stuff. They're not going to say anything, you know? Only if it's a legal thing. Then maybe they might come out and release the show.
Sure.
Who knows? But I mean, like, it's ridiculous, man. And a lot of these marks and these mark journalists, you know, they make the problem a lot fucking worse. They make it a lot worse. So, yeah, man, I mean, miss me with this argument. I just think it's just more of the same nonsense that the marks pull, and another reason for them to just hate Vince and to just keep piling up. Why don't you people just prop up AEW a little bit more? Stop caring about what Vince is doing. I respect the fans that don't watch WWE anymore, that actually stuck to it, that they're like, hey, it's not for me anymore. I want to watch AEW. That's fine, you know, but just stop shitting on WWE for doing things that your football team does, that your hockey team does, that your baseball team does, you know, because it's just business, and that's just what it is.
That's right. Hey, Patrick just said it best right there. And, folks, before we let you go here this week, a couple of things, you know, what to look forward to on my end. Pat, for us fans in the tri-state area, at the American Dream Mall, that sort of awful eyesore on Route 3, besides MetLife Stadium, you know, out there on Route 3, the American Dream Mall will be hosting an autograph fest next weekend, next Saturday and Sunday at the American Dream Mall, One American Dream Way on East Rutherford, off the Jersey Turnpike, exit 16W, also off of Route 3, off of the parkway nearby. The Nature Boy Ric Flair will be in attendance, Woo! Signing autographs, obviously, along with Iron Mike Tyson, Bill Goldberg. Some other sports luminaries include former NFL quarterback Vince Young, former American League MVP Jose Canseco, the all-time hits king in Major League Baseball Pete Rose.
WWE Hall of Famer Pete Rose.
That's right, WWE Hall of Famer Pete Rose, correct. Former humanitarian, former NFL quarterback Michael Vick will be in attendance. Obviously, folks, check out FighterManSports.com. That's F-I-T-E-R, mansports.com. I'm definitely looking forward to meeting the Nature Boy again next Saturday. He's my hero. I love the Nature Boy. I'm sure it'll be quite an interesting crowd, to say the least, to meet some of these very dubious characters in the world of sports and pro wrestling next week at the American Dream Mall in East Rutherford, Saturday 14th and Sunday the 15th. Pat, what are you looking forward to coming up?
Yeah, I haven't been there yet. I haven't been to the American Dream. I hear it's just a common mall. That's all I hear about it, but I don't know. You know.
Folks, we'll leave it right there.
Hold on, I gotta plug my shit. Hold on. Child actors. We're playing at Crave 43 next week. We're gonna be playing with Pellagra, with Suelo Loco. Unfortunately, Kibo Edy had to bow out of that one. You know, wishing them all the best. And, yeah, come on out. Come check us out at Crave 43. I'm going to be reading some poems. I'm going to be signing some autographs. I'm going to be, you know, also handing out free Plan B pills for anybody who's interested as well. And, you know, you can catch me at the dispensary. And, yeah, just keep on keeping on. Life's a garden. Dig it.
Folks, come out next week for his show. I'll be there so you can check out your favorite podcast host next week in Union City. So definitely come check out, support the child actors there. It's a show you don't want to miss. Trust me, I've seen Pat and the child actors in person, and it's a show. It's worth every single dollar you put into that show when you go see them perform. So make it a point to mark on your calendars next Saturday night in Union City. Again, check out Patrick's Instagram at Patty Rican, PaddyRican. Of course, check out my own Instagram at The Amazing Professor. But more importantly, check out this show's Instagram at Working_The_Marks. Also, hit us up also on Twitter at Working_Marks. And of course, check out the Facebook page and certainly Working the Marks. And of course, check out all our episodes at www.blogtalkradio.com/
Working the Marks. Folks, it's the best podcast to listen to about everything going on in pro wrestling, some different perspectives, and some different viewpoints you don't see anywhere else. I'm Fernando Uribe, New Jersey's premier journalist. He is Patrick Rivera, New Jersey's premier wrestling analyst, saying so long, folks, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, to my mom, to your mom, Patrick. Did an exceptional job raising an upstanding young man, in my opinion, the great Patrick Vincent Rivera.
That's mighty well of you, profe. Your mom's pretty cool, too, bro.
Oh, I appreciate that. So, folks, enjoy your weekend. Again, share this week's episode on all of your social media. We appreciate that. And we'll come to you next week. Again, as Working the Marks is not going to be a weekly production. I know you love it, and I know you'll share it as well. Folks, have a great Mother's Day weekend. Again, enjoy WrestleMania Backlash premium live event on Peacock tomorrow.
There we go.
And we'll
there
see.
We go.
And again, well, I know, it sort of burned me to say that. But, folks, enjoy it. Enjoy your weekend. Stay healthy, folks. God bless y'all. And we'll see you next week here on Working the Marks with Fernando and Patrick right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you.